So Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to again read verse 5, and we're going to look at the second half of verse 9. I'm going to read down through that hymn. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We've seen exactly the gospel mindset of God. That he emptied himself, and what does that mean? He took on the form of a what? Of a servant, of a bondservant, of a slave. In other words, he gave up his claim to his position, he gave up his rights and privileges, and became a slave, not to men, but to God the Father. God the Son arranged himself under God the Father. And God the Spirit arranged himself under God the Son. And this was a voluntary act by Christ, and he gave himself to this. He did not say, well, look at my position, why should I do this? But he freely, voluntarily arranged himself under in this fashion. He emptied himself. He became a man. And in that manhood, in that personality of a man, he not only emptied himself, but he humbled himself. And those are the two action verbs, emptied himself and humbled himself. And it's for that reason God what? Highly did what? Exalted him. God hyper exalted him. How high? Well, by giving him a name that is above every name. How high? So high that Christ is in a class all by himself. He is the second Adam, is he not? And so here we have this wonderful truth of the Son of God, and that this act of emptying oneself, this act of humbling oneself to be obedient, even through the torture of death, even through the torture of the cross, Jesus Christ himself is the illustration and the model of this mindset of God. It's not that Christ's mind is different from God's mind. This is God's mind. This is how he thinks. That if you would exalt yourself, you will be what? You will be humbled. If you humble yourself, you will be what? You will be exalted. And so this is the very mindset of God. And just to bring back to remembrance, I love what Mary and Mary's Magnificent said. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. What a blessing that is. And you remember our little slogan that I borrowed from one of the commentators. You remember the Greek word for God is? Theos. And the Greek word for bond slave is? Doulos. So Theos became doulos. And for that reason, God highly exalted him. Now, brethren, tonight, this afternoon, we're going to learn another Greek term. And that's a Greek term that you have heard, and that is kurios. Kurios is the Greek term for what word in our English translation? Lord. Lord. So when we read something like this, when we hear these words in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you would confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, the Greek term there is the Greek term kurios. Everybody got that word? We're learning three Greek words, really getting deep, okay? Three Greek words. God is theos, bondservant is doulos, and Lord is kurios, okay? And as I conclude this, I'm going to bring those three words together, hopefully in a very helpful way that we can remember this. Now, you'll recall this morning I said that we need to examine two questions. One is, why God highly exalted Jesus? We answered that question this morning. The second question is, what is meant by the name that is above every name? And you'll see that in verse 9. For this reason also, God highly exalted him. Here's his exaltation. He was bestowed the name which is above every name. And because of that, there is an intended result. And that intended result is verses 10 and 11. And Lord willing, we'll look at that next Lord's Day morning. Now, God has done something very unique for Christ. And this unique thing that God has done for him, and what I mean by unique is this. If we humble ourselves, we too, God will exalt the humble, but we will not be exalted like Christ was exalted. Okay? Christ was exalted because he was given the name that is above every what? Every name. And the result of that is all the universe will bend their knee to him. Okay? That is unique to him. Any rulership that you and I might receive in the new heavens and new earth will be derivative of his authority. All authority has been given unto who? Unto Christ. Okay? And so that's what I mean by God has done something unique for him. Now look at the passage again, because this has already occurred. You'll see the past tense. For this reason also, God highly exalted him in the past and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. This name that is above every name has already been freely given to him now. In other words, he has that name. Whatever that name is, he has it now, and it is above every other name universally. That is going on now. Whereas every knee bowing and every tongue confessing, that is not present, which you're aware of. That is yet in the future. Okay, everybody see that? Okay, so there's something that has already happened and is true right now, and there is something that is going to still happen in the future. Now the question is, what is that name? And let me kind of guide you through the thought patterns. Look down here, verses 9 through 11. Okay, whatever the name is, it is a result of God highly exalting Christ. Everybody agree with that? What does that mean? That means there is nothing higher than Christ Jesus. Okay, everybody agree with that? We all agree with that. All right, I'm going to ask you. Don't answer out loud. All right, do you know what his name is? Do you know what the name that has been given to him? Because I've given you a hint. Here's the second hint. Look at verse 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name. Everybody see that? He didn't say a name that is above every name. He gave him the what? The name that is above every name. All right, do you know what that name is? Here's another hint. God gave him the name, whatever this name is, it is above or beyond every other name. Everybody with me about the progress here. Okay, I'm just laying out some clues to see if you can get this. In fact, in Ephesians, now listen to what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. He says, "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory." Okay, that's God the Father. "He brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." Now listen to what Paul writes. "Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Far above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as the head over all things." Would you call that above every other name? Do you know what that name is? Last clue. This name, the name that has been gifted to him, which is above every other name, will be universally acknowledged in the future day. Universally acknowledged. Look at what it says here. "So that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow." How many knees? "Every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and every tongue." How many languages will confess this? Every language will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's amazing, isn't it? Lord, come quickly. You can't help but read that and say, "Maranatha, Lord, come." So when we ask the question, what is the name that God the Father bestowed on Christ, the name that is above every name? Well, it's whatever the name is, it's higher than anything else. It is the name, meaning it's unique. It's not a name. It is beyond every other name. And there's a lot of names out there. Think about this. God's named every star. How many names are out there? A lot of names, right? It's above every star. And whatever this name is, it has been given to Christ Jesus so that in the future it will be universally acknowledged by all things. Do you know what the name is? Well, I think it's easy for us to understand this. This man, Jesus, the Christ of Nazareth, was made lower than all, and he is exalted above all. He went the deepest, he's exalted the what? The highest. And this is why Peter would say this. Listen to Peter. I'm still giving you clues through here, okay? Peter would word it this way in Acts 4. You know this passage. He tells the ruling government of the Sanhedrin that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Peter had an understanding of this, didn't he? What is this name? Well, let me tell you, and then I'm going to defend it. The name that has been given to him that is above every name is in verse 11. It is not the name or the title Christ. It is not the name Jesus. It is the name Lord. What's the Greek term for that? Kyrios. That is the name. Now, me having said that, let's go back to my clues. Folks, if I was to ask you, all right, what being is there that is higher than all other beings? You would say God. Would you not? If I was to ask you, well, what's His name? You would say He's Lord. Would you not? If I was to say, what is God's unique name? And I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. God has a unique name. And if I was to ask you, well, what name is above every other name that is out there? It has to be His name. God the Father, highly exalted Christ Jesus. Now hear this. And gave Him His own name. That's the name, isn't it? He gave Him His own name. And folks, that name is why universally every bended knee in every language, whether of human language, angelic language, or any other language, will confess that He is Lord to the glory of who? God the Father. He is Kyrios. Now let me argue. I want us to turn to three passages, and then I'm going to quote a fourth, but let's turn to these passages and let me just build a little case here. I want you to go all the way back to the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. And you know that when we turn back to the book of Exodus, we're turning back to the calling of Moses. Moses is going to go back to that nation of Egypt. He's going to lead His people out. And in chapter 6, God speaks to Moses Himself. Now look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses. Everybody with me. Everybody in your Bibles right here. Okay. Everybody see the word Lord. How does it appear in your Bible? It's in all what? Okay. That's the term for Yahweh. Okay, now let me just pause here and give you some help with this, okay? That name is pronounced a lot of different ways. I have heard people pronounce it Yahweh. It's not Yahweh. It's Yahweh. Okay? And I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't lived in Israel. Okay. Yahweh. I've heard people pronounce it Yahweh. It's not Yahweh, it's Yahweh. Okay. But if you hear a preacher say Yahweh, just understand what he's saying. Okay. If you hear him say Yahweh, just understand what he's saying. All right. But when I say Yahweh, that's who I'm talking about. And so here is God highly exalting him. Exodus 6, verse 1. Then Yahweh said to Moses. Okay, who's speaking? Yahweh is speaking. Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land. God spoke further to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh. Everybody see Lord there? It's all caps, right? I am Yahweh, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, and our translation says, Lord, and it's in all caps. But by my name Yahweh, I did not make myself known to them. Everybody see that? Okay, so if I was to ask you, what is God's unique name? You would say his unique name is Yahweh. Everybody agree with that? That's his name. Okay? And folks, the first time that name is used, Yahweh, in the Hebrew text, is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, when it says, when Yahweh Elohim created all things. When Yahweh God created all things. So Yahweh is the creator, is he not? So here's Yahweh, and if I went and took you. Now remember, our New Testament was written in what language? It wasn't written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. If I was to take you to the Septuagint translation is the Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. And if you had a computer, you had both of those books, you could look up in the Hebrew text and go to Exodus chapter 6 and verse 3, and you would see Yahweh. And if you would take the Septuagint, the Greek translation of those scriptures, which was done before Christ, if you would take those scriptures and look at it, it doesn't say Yahweh because that's Hebrew. It says Kyrios, the Lord. So, according to that Greek translation, his unique name is Yahweh, which, when the Jews translated it into the Greek language, they made his unique name Kyrios, or as we know it, the Lord. Amen? There's another name for Lord, that's the word Adonai. When it says in Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord. It's when Kyrios said to Adonai. Or in the Hebrew text, it's when the Lord Yahweh said. So folks, I just say that to say this. It's a little technical, but I say this to say this. When I say God has given him his own unique name, that name, if I was speaking Hebrew, is what? Yahweh. If I'm speaking in Greek, it is what? Kyrios. And Exodus chapter 6, verse 3 tells us what that unique name is. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 83. Psalm 83. And we're going to see the same pattern here that I am attempting to defend. Psalm 83. Psalm 83, if I go over to the last part of that psalm, it talks about people seeking the Lord, verse 16. The word Lord there is capitalized. It's the word Yahweh. It says that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and dismayed forever. Let them be humiliated and perish. Now look at verse 18. That they may know that you alone, whose name is what? The Lord. It's all capitals. It's the word what? Yahweh, and in the Greek translation, it is the word Kyrios. That they may know that you alone, whose name is Yahweh Kyrios, are the most, what? The most, what? High over all the earth. Everybody see that? Okay, and you remember, Christ was exalted by God the Father above all, right? Above all. So we have Exodus 6:3. We have Psalm 83:18. Now go to Isaiah chapter 52. And I love this passage in Isaiah 52 because it's connected with Paul's quotation of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7, which is very instructive, and it's not my intention to really go there with it, but I leave that for your own meditation. In Isaiah 52... beginning in verse 5. Now therefore, what do I have here, declares the Lord. And it's all caps, right? Okay? Now therefore, what do I have here, declares Yahweh, seeing that my people have been taken away without cause. Again, Yahweh declares, those who rule over them howl, and my name is continually blasphemed all day long. What's his name? Yahweh. Kyrios. Now look at verse 6. Therefore my people, who? My people shall know what? My name. Therefore, in the day of in that day that I am the one who is speaking, here I am. In other words, folks, there's coming a day, God says, my people. He's not referring to Israel, ethnic. He's referring to the Israel within the Israel, my people. There's coming a day when my people will know my name. So in that day that I am the one speaking to them, that I am the one who's saying, here I am. Now folks, what did Jesus say to those people in John? Unless you believe that I am, right? That I am has sent me. I am He. You shall die in your sins. And folks, what they did not recognize was that in the Son, God Himself was speaking to them. They did not know His name. As far as they knew, Jesus the Nazarene, a human being like any other human being. Oh yes, a prophet. Oh yes, He does some miracles every now and then. But He's certainly not who? He's certainly not God. But Isaiah says there's coming a day when my people will know my name. And I will say to them, here I am. And folks, what I love about this is verse 7. It's like Isaiah just stops and says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. The word good news is our word what? Gospel. This is quoted by Paul in the book of Romans. What is the good news? The good news is that now my people know my name and we recognize who He is. That's what makes it good news. And so what we have here is Exodus 6:3, God's unique name, Yahweh, translated in the Greek translation, Kyrios. And that is Yahweh, Kyrios, who created all things. Psalm 83:18, that He alone, whose name is Yahweh, Kyrios, that He alone is the Most High over all the earth. And Isaiah prophesies that Yahweh, Kyrios, says, I declare my name. And that one day a people will know my name, that I am the one who is speaking to them. They will know me. And we won't turn there for sake of time, but I love this reference to Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 6 and verse 13. You remember the dead bones? And God, Yahweh, says to Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel, wise man that he was, saying, "Lord, you know," right? One day, God says, and if you really read it carefully, he says, this is the house of Israel, but when he refers to the people that he brings the bones together, he puts sinews on them and he breathes life into them, he doesn't say the house of Israel, he calls them my people. And folks, it's that Yahweh, Kurios, will make alive his people. And do you know what he says in that passage? He says, "I will bring them up out of the graves." You got any hope about that, Christian? And he says this, "My people, the ones that I will bring up out of the graves, I will give them my spirit." You know anything about having received the earnest of this Holy Spirit? And then in that passage it says this, Then you will know that I, Yahweh Kurios, has spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Amazing, isn't it? And folks, to repeat, God exalted Christ and gave him the name Yahweh Kurios. Kurios is Yahweh, and Yahweh is Kurios. He gave him his own name so that in a future day, folks, if you're going to bow your knee and worship a man, he better be who? God. Right? In that universal day, universally in the heavens, on the earth, under the earth, every knee, every language will confess, Jesus Christ is Yahweh. He is Kurios. And folks, that's what your neighbors don't know. When they say that God committed child abuse by putting his son on the cross, they think God is separate and different than the one that was on the cross. Folks, God himself took our sins. How many gods are there? One. And this is why in Psalm 2, he says to the rulers and judges of the earth. Now think about this. God says, "I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy hill." Who is this king? Yahweh says, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you," referring to the exaltation by resurrection. So he says to the kings of the earth, "Worship the Lord," capitalized. "Worship Yahweh with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son." How blessed are everyone who takes their refuge in him. Brethren, you know this, do you not? That God the Father highly exalted Christ Jesus. How high? Well, he raised him from the dead. That's exaltation, isn't it? But it's beyond that. It's that he bestowed on him the name, his own name, Yahweh, Kurios. He bestowed his own name, which is above every other name. Nothing higher than that name. And this is why he says in verse 11 that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Kurios. to the glory of who? God the Father. And folks, this just isn't, please hear me, this just isn't like, okay, that's his name. Like you may say, Frank or Greg or Joe or Betty. Folks, bestowing a name in the Bible is showing you the character of that person. When God names you, it's showing forth the character. Think about Simon. God said, your name will be Peter. He changed his what? He changed his name. Was that just because he didn't like Simon? No. The name was the characterization on who this man is and will be. Right? When I name my children, every one of them, I name them combination of names that meant something. It was our prayer for our boys. It just wasn't, oh, I like that name. My grandmother had it. My grandfather had it. You know, it wasn't like that. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. Okay? But my wife and I sat down deliberately. We come through all the names. We took names. We looked at the meaning of it. We went back to the Hebrew. I mean, we went everywhere. Because I wanted that name to be a constant reminder to them of our prayers that they would turn out that way. And folks, when God bestowed on Jesus the name that is above every name, he just wasn't saying, all right, instead of calling him Fred, call him Lord. It was the declaration of who he is. That he is God the Son. He is deity in human flesh. It is God who came down from heaven to us. It is Yahweh, the one who created all things. And you go through your epistles and you will find things like this. That it was the Son who created all things by the word of His power. So that all things were created for Him and to Him for His own good pleasure. You can't say that about anybody but God. And the uniqueness of our Lord is this. That 1 Corinthians 15 says that God the Father has put all things under subjection to Him. And one day, please hear me, after Christ puts all things under His feet, He will give them all to God the Father so that He is all in all. That is a doulos, is it not? He's not ruling merely for His own self. He's ruling for God the Father. What a blessing that is. He's not doing this selfishly. He's doing this for another. And folks, this is why. Please hear this very carefully. I'm closing. This is why the apostles preached like they did. You go through the book of Acts and look at the preaching that they did. It is so different than the type of gospel preaching you and I hear. And on that first day at Pentecost, Peter would stand up, the one who fled, the one who denied him, the one who was part of the team that was hiding in the corner so that nobody would find them out of fear. This man would stand up boldly in the midst of them. He would preach this message about Christ Jesus. And he would conclude the message this way. Please hear this. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him. Now listen to what he says. Can you finish this? God has made him both Lord
and Christ. You ever read that and said, He made him this way? Like, He bestowed upon him the name that is above every name. This man named Jesus. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And folks, this is why Paul would write the Corinthians. No one can say Jesus is Kyrios except by the Holy Spirit. Now, he's not saying, oh, you know, go to your neighbor, say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. No, that's not what he's talking about. Okay? No one can confess with all their soul that Jesus is Yahweh in human flesh except by the Holy Spirit. And this is why, folks, that in Romans chapter 10, Paul would say this, this is the word of faith that we preach. Listen to what he says. If you would confess with your mouth, Jesus is Kyrios. Did you hear that? If you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Kyrios and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. Why? For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says this, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord over all, Jew and Greek, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. Because it is written, whosoever will call on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Who is Yahweh? The Kyrios, Jesus Christ. That's who you call upon to be saved. Why? There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And folks, you got to believe that. It's not, oh, well, you know, he died and I get to go to heaven. No, you got to go beyond that. You got to get to the heart of the question. Who is this man? Who is he? And it was what was preached by those apostles. It's what made them bold. It's what made them, when Paul went into a city and the accusation was, he's preaching someone else is Lord and not Caesar. They've turned the world upside down with this preaching. This is the good news that the footman comes running in from the battle. And he says, good news! We won! The victory is ours! The Messiah won! God gave us the victory. That's the good news. And I want to warn you by giving you this phrase which describes this hymn. Theos became doulos to be exalted as Kyrios. Theos became doulos to be exalted as Kyrios. In that short sentence is the summation of all that we are. And I want to warn you, like Paul warned the Jews in that day, because there are those who will hear this preaching, could be through the internet, could be through other means, it could be in here, who will hear my voice that will happen to them. Be forewarned, like Isaiah said. Paul said the Holy Spirit has rightly said this through Isaiah the prophet. Go to this people and say,
But you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. Isaiah preached this, folks. Haven't you read Isaiah 53? He preached this. And they would sit and they would listen and they would nod their head, but to them it wasn't a movement of heart. It was only a movement of notion, of acknowledging, yes, that's there, but then they live their lives as their own, going their own way, as if they were curious. Why is that happening? Because the heart of this people had become dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear and they close their eyes. Why did they do that? Because they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return. And Yahweh would heal them. I remember my father, probably the saddest words, one of the saddest words he ever spoke to me, was the day he finally agreed with me to go hear a preacher that was a true man of God. And when we left the service that day and we were riding and we were alone, I asked him, I said, would you like to come back with us? And this is what he said. He said, no, because if I go back, I will have to make a decision. He heard the gospel that day. And I said to him, Dad, you've already made the decision. Folks, don't be like this. Because I want to let it be known to you that if you reject it, you're not hurting God. You're hurting yourself. Because God will send this salvation to His people. And His people will hear and live. Let's pray.